From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This, from Boston, where a certain dollar amount reported as the median net worth for black families in the area has become a key talking point in the city's mayoral election. That amount, $8. But the figure comes with caveats. WBUR's Simone Rios has been reporting on this, and he joins me now. Hi, Simone.
Hey, Arun.
So tell us, where did this figure, $8, where does this come from?
So a few weeks ago, I did a story on housing in the Boston mayor's race. And almost everyone I talked to dropped these two numbers. So the median net worth of a white family in Greater Boston is nearly $250,000. The net worth of a black family, a U.S. black family specifically, was $8. Just hearing everybody talking about this number, it made us want to look into the numbers and sort of check to see if there would be any more studies on this front, and just see if there was any nuance in terms of that, you know, $8 net worth of U.S. black families.
And how has this come up again now in the Boston mayoral race, the $8 number that's being thrown around?
You know, there was something shocking about that number when it came out in 2015. It was a study out of the Boston Federal Reserve Bank that's made it as common today as it was 6 years ago, if not more so. It's gotten so much traction. But talking to researchers and people in the community, the reason people are talking about wealth inequality again has a lot to do with the Black Lives Matter movement, and then the fact that there are six people of color running to be Boston's next mayor, and it matters to them. Shigun Idewu of the Black Economic Council of Massachusetts says his very organization was founded in the wake of the release of this $8 study.
The fact that it's being talked about more today, I would say, highlights how much more should have been done in the last 6 years. But at the present moment, we're not moving fast enough.
Idewu says he hopes that all this talk about the racial wealth gap leads to a real prioritization around ending the racial wealth gap once and for all.
And of course, we also have, coming out of this pandemic, which has really laid bare a lot of inequities that are really to the same point, right?
No doubt. I mean, speaking to people at the Boston Fed now, you know, I asked the question, are there plans to repeat this study? People would like to see fresh data. There aren't any immediate plans to do so. But the people at the Fed I spoke to said that they think that the distribution of wealth along race lines is actually worse now, considering the pandemic and the skyrocketing price of real estate. So as much as people would like to see fresh data on this, there's a real sense that if anything, the wealth distribution we have or that we had 6 years ago is worse today.
Break down the $8 number for us, because there are a variety of things to consider with this. It's really interesting.
It's true. So one of the things that I think we have to point out, it was a very small sample size. So the $8 figure applies to the median net worth of non-immigrant black families. And 71 of these families were interviewed in the study. So not a huge sample size, and the margin of error could be several thousand dollars, either above zero or below zero. One of the other things that we have to point out is the study looked at other ethnic groups as well, and other sort of nationalities. So for example, Caribbean black families in Greater Boston had a net worth of $12,000. Again, it's likely that's within the margin of error of the $8 for U.S. black families. Dominican families, according to the study, had a net worth of zero. So those are some of the nuances that we don't hear as much when folks drop this $8 figure.
So Simone, for more detail on you know, breaking down this number and what's not represented in the number, are there plans to do more research?
You know, it would be nice if we had a constant flow of data from the Fed or from the census showing what the racial wealth gap looks like in real time. But in reality, that kind of research is difficult to carry out. When it was done 6 years ago, this study, it was the first of its kind that showed such granular level detail about the wealth gap along race lines. Tom Shapiro is a researcher at Brandeis who helped advise the researchers who carried out this study. He said he'd like to see it repeated, and he's been advocating for that. But he also says you have to prioritize the kind of thing you study and ask whether it's worth the investment.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether that figure is $8 or $800. It's still a massive gap. The issue is not going to go away, you know, if the data so-called looks better.
Now, regardless of that $8 figure, there's still a bigger takeaway here. There's a huge gulf between the typical white family and the typical black family.
Yeah, and you can expand that to people of color generally, at least black and Latino families. So think about it. If you're white, you're likely to have $250,000 when you subtract your debt from your assets. If you're black, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Cape Verdean, you're likely to have essentially zero. So I think the real question going forward isn't necessarily what the latest numbers are on this front, but what can be done to close the wealth gap going forward?
Well, Simone, I feel like we talk about inequality a lot, but never in this kind of detail. And it's really useful. Thank you.
Thanks, Arun. Good to talk to you.
That's WBUR reporter Simone Rios. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up in Boston. Many of the state's more than 46,000 Haitian residents are reacting with shock to the assassination of Haiti's president. For years, Matapan's Le Foyer Bakery has been a place to gauge the views of local Haitians who flocked to the bakery from miles around. One customer, Kate, who would not give her last name, says President Jovenel Moïse reaped what he sowed.
He got exactly what he deserved.
He's very arrogant. And he has a lot of gang in the country. Pregnant women get killed. Elderly get killed. Every time the people take the street to demand better living conditions, he hires mercenaries to kill them.
Others have expressed sympathy for the president and his wife, who was injured in the attack, and said the assassination was an attack on democracy itself. Police in Haiti say they have killed four suspects and two others are in custody for the assassination of the country's president. In other news, the Boston City Council is considering making permanent some of the voting measures added during the pandemic. The Council's Committee on Government Operation held a hearing today on plans to reinstate extended early voting and voting by mail. Councilor Ricardo Arroyo says during the 2020 election, these measures made it easier for people to vote.
This opens up access to voting in a way that we've seen increases, not just in turnout generally, but in turnout in places that have been harder to engage in electoral politics as long as we've had voting.
If approved by the council, the measures would still need approval from state legislators. And finally, organizers of the Topsfield Fair are anticipating a banner year. They've announced the oldest fair in the country will take place this fall after it was canceled last year because of the pandemic. George Humis of the New England Giant Pumpkin Growers Association says he's looking forward to seeing the crowds back for the big pumpkin weigh-in. He thinks the event will be more popular than ever.
A lot of people started gardening during the pandemic. They weren't working and, you know, they maybe got involved and hopefully they're, you know, that'll continue.
The Topsfield Fair will run from October 1st through October 11th. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since giant pumpkins and fairs, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. You like podcasts? Here's one more you might enjoy. All Revved Up. Join hosts and reverends Irene Monroe and Emmett Price as they explore the intersection of faith, politics, and culture. New episodes of All Revved Up drop every other Wednesday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.